Praise God for all that He has given us. And I'm grateful. Grateful that we recognize the day for dads, but I wanted to spend our time looking at our Father. I wanted to talk about Him. And that is a pleasant and wonderful thing to think of. Go to Genesis chapter 1. So who is He? I think so many people, they know a lot about God. I'm not saying that they don't. I'm not judging what they do and don't know. But the truth of the matter is, everything that we understand, and I've been doing this a while, and some of you guys have been reading the Bible for decades, we see through a glass darkly, right? So as much as we think we know about our Father, there's a whole lot more to know. As much as I can imagine, which is really incredibly hard to do, His power, His love, His patience, His care, it comes so short. I mean, it's just evident to me that it comes so short. It's not even close. And I thought we could just appreciate who He is to the best of our ability by reading some of these scriptures. And in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, it says, "In the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim, the Almighty, the Creator, created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." So, I'm not going to get into a huge, I want to make one major point as far as the creation. But I am in awe that God just decided one day. See, you know, most people would argue, well, you can't have real creation because you can't have something come from nothing. Right? That's what most of the scientists, the atheists, you know, they're physical people. They got to see it. Well, it didn't come from nothing. God created the heavens and the earth. He's the one that did it. So that whole argument, if they don't believe in God, that's their problem. But the point is, their whole argument is that creation didn't come from nothing. God created it. He brought it into existence. And then it tells us how, in a very wonderful way, how the process kind of worked. So the earth was without form and void. It was a mess. Darkness was on the face of the deep, and we're going to find out that that deep is seawater. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Just let there be. And it was. And God saw the light that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. The beginning of time, the way we know it. And God said, "Let there be a firmament, or an expanse, in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters." So picture this. There's water, and we're going to see that it's the same kind of water that's in the ocean. There's water, and then all of a sudden God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst, in the middle of the water." You know, so you got an empty space surrounded by water. Can you picture that? Because it's going to get shocking here. And God made the firmament, and he divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heavens gather together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. And the gathering of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass. And everything was after its own kind genetically. Point is, what God did just in this here, the introduction of the Bible to anybody who opens the first page, is to come to grips with unimaginable power, unimaginable ability, to be able to say to universe, pop in the midst of the water. It's called heaven in this here, but it's the universe, because he's going to put the stars there, the moon. The water under this universe is talking about our seas, which is salt water. And all God did was divide the waters from the water. So, as my understanding, the water on the edge of the universe is salt water too. Does this, stretch your imagination to how big your father is? That's my point here. I mean, we could go through a very detailed study of this beginning, and you would see unbelievable truths that still hold true today. This is not a fairy tale. Go to verse 26. God made a decision after the creation, and he said, let it, in verse 26, God's, let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. God made mankind, you and I, in his image. He decided to make us in his image. Every individual on earth is in the image of God. And he gave them dominion. He decided to take these two human beings that he decided to make, for, and he took them from the dust of the ground, the dirt, okay, and he formed them, made them, gave them life, because he wanted a family. He wanted a planet filled with people. He's going to fellowship with them. He's going to give them everything. He's going to provide for them everything that they're going to need. He is setting this whole thing up. Now imagine this. You know, like households. Moms and dad build a household, whether it's a one room or whether it's 10, for their family. God made all of this. Everything you read here, the purpose of it is man. The purpose of it was to take care of you guys. Take care of me. Provide. He gave Adam and Eve dominion. He made them gods on the earth. He wanted the best for them all. He loved them all. You know, he would walk and talk with them. It says a little later on that he would meet them in the garden in the cool of the day. And after the fall of man, they hid from God. And, you know, their relationship with God was severely damaged. But God still loved so much that he planned for a Messiah. Planned for a Messiah that would bring us back to him. That's a father. That's a father that loves, that cares, that provides, that even plans out in the disasters. The possibilities of what needs to be done and then gets the job done because of love. That's our incredible Father. Go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. In Exodus 33, and we'll start reading here in verse 18. It says, Moses is wants to see God's glory. And he said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord Yahweh before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will show mercy to whom I will show mercy. And he said, thou, you can't see my face. Thou cannot see my face, for there shall no man be able to see it and live. And then God made these arrangements. Look at 34:6. I just want to show you the magnificence of your Father. So, mankind in this state that we're in, we can't even look at the face of God physically. But God made arrangements to show him about himself and to make his life and way known. It says, and the Lord passed before him, 34:6, Exodus, and proclaimed Yahweh, the Almighty, merciful, and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression of sins, and will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. God Almighty showed him who he is. In the previous verses, it says he would proclaim his name, that he was gracious to whom he would be gracious, and he will show mercy to whom he will show mercy. That's his choice. You know, it's based upon his justice, his perspective. It's about him. It's not about what I think about it. It's about always, the perspective of God is always about his perspective. So the people that he chooses to be merciful to, he's a loving, righteous, generous, wonderful Father. They're the ones that are going to get it, and the ones that he doesn't give it to, they don't get it. It's totally his choice. But when you know him, then you don't doubt whether this is good or bad. You see what I'm talking about? Because it's going to be always righteous. It's always going to be correct. It's always going to be just. It's always going to be love. And it's going to be God's will getting done. And then it says over in 34:6 again, he's going to proclaim who he is again. God merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. And he keeps mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquities. He's a forgiving, giving God. He loves, but he's a just God. He doesn't let the evil go either. It's going to be dealt with. Whether in this lifetime or at the end, it's going to be dealt with. And it will be a righteous judgment. And the consequences that happens in life, it travels on. You know, from one generation to the next. But that doesn't mean that the individual, I mean, just give yourself an example. Daniel, a kid that loved God, wouldn't compromise, but the circumstances of his generation, his whole people went into bondage because of the unbelief of everybody in the community. So he ended up in his entire lifetime in a different nation. It certainly prospered in there, but it wasn't, he suffered the consequences of what was around him. Not because he wasn't a great believer, but that's just the way it seems that things go sometimes. And there's many, many more examples in the scripture. Go to Psalm 23. This is a tremendously descriptive psalm about who our Father is. You know, the thing I love about, there's a lot of things I love about this psalm. But the one thing that I really want to make a point of, everybody reads this at the graveside. This psalm's got absolutely nothing to do with the graveside. It says, Yahweh is my shepherd. You know, these are the redemptive names of God, they call them in the scriptures, where God's titles are used to show who he is and what he will do, show his character, show aspects of his power. And there are many of them here. And I wanted to show you, like this one, Yahweh Rosh. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the first one right there. He is the one who cares for me, guides me, protects me, patches me up. He is the one who will guide me through everything else in life. He'll never leave us. And then it says, I shall not want. The Lord is our provider. It's another one of those wonderful names. He provides the very air we breathe. He provides everything that there is. He is the one by which we talked about the creation. Everything consists because of him. It all works together because of him. So I shall not want. If you got the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, and you're walking in a relationship with him, which is our prayer and our desire. What do you need? If he'll provide every need, answer every prayer, hear your every thought, your complaint, what are you lacking? You ever think about it like that? Most of us, I think about it the other way a lot of times. I'm, okay, Lord, I need this. I need that. And I'm having a tough time with this. But really, I'm made in the image of God. I got the most powerful Father that owns everything. should I really have? Like Jesus said in the Gospels, he says, look at the birds. God feeds them. You know? I mean, that put a smile on your face. This is your father. What are you going to worry about? I remember when I was a little kid, you know, in grade school, third grade, something like that. Because I wasn't allowed to go out by myself. I was either with my mother or somebody, you know, aunts, uncles, whatever. And I remember the other kids on the block, and we'd tussle around and play on the street, play ball, whatever. And, you know, that obviously there would always be, like, these interactions, fights, arguments, and there was kids bigger than me, there were kids smaller than me. But when I walked down the street with my little hand in my father's hand, there was nobody touching me. I knew I was in the perfect place of, you can't mess with me no matter what you're thinking. That's how I feel in life. So many times. You know, a lot of evil comes our way. Tragedies, sickness, death, craziness, things to be concerned about with our loved ones and all the rest. But I want to tell you something. You put your hand in his and feel the peace. Because that's also in this 23rd Psalm. I shall not want. The Lord provides. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and he leads me besides the still waters. He is the one who gives us what we need and provides all that is necessary. He restores my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restores my soul. The Lord, our healer. And, you know, the name for God, Yahweh Jireh, was I shall not want. The Lord provides. And Yahweh Shalom, the Lord our peace. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, because thy rod and thy staff comfort me. He is Yahweh Nisi, our banner. See, God is the one who protects, watches over. We walk under his banner. You know, this is his protection. His rod and his staff, they're also used for kicking you in the butt when you need it. Okay? But most of the time, it's to take out the predators. Take out that which would harm the sheep. But you're under his banner. You're under his protection. The other day we talked about in Pentecost, right? Those two loaves that the high priest that day on the day of Pentecost, the high priest took the two loaves that were made of leavened bread, the only sacrifice with leaven in it, and leaven stood for wickedness and sin, right? Those two loaves were lifted up to God on the day of Pentecost when God poured out his spirit. Those of us, because it's not talking about what Christ did. It's not Christ elevated himself in the resurrection. That right day, that morning, he said to Mary Magdalene, he said to her, he says, don't touch me because I have not ascended to my God and your God, to my Father and to your Father. But the elevation offering that was offered on Pentecost was to offer those, the two, Jew and Gentile, both with sin, bitterness, and now they belong to God. The birth of the church, many people call it. He poured out his spirit, and he gave each and every individual, little ones, old ones, all sinners. He gave them the ability to walk with God, and he wants to dwell in them. He wants to be our Father. He wants to dwell in us, and he does. Anyone who believes and accepts Jesus Christ as their Lord, anyone, no matter how raunchy they were, and we were all dead, so you can't get too much more raunchy than that, right? You confess Jesus Christ as your Lord, you put it on, you believe God raised him from the dead, you believe that he is the sacrifice, the substitution, you believe the good news. He pours out his spirit, and he dwells within you. The creator of the heavens and the earth wants to be with you. The question is, how much do we want to be with him? You know, look at this. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. God is always present. The Lord is present, is one of these other names. They're called the redemptive names. Yahweh, Shemeth, I can't pronounce it very well, but go to Matthew chapter 6, another very familiar scripture. You know, I said at the time of the, just after the resurrection, when Mary Magdalene talked to, she came to bury him properly. And he said, Mary. And she knew it was the Lord. But he made that statement to her. I have not ascended yet to my Father and your Father. You know, we're talking about equal terms here. Jesus didn't say, my Father and your God. My Father and, yeah, he's yours too. No, he put it in the same exact equal terms. My Father and your Father. My God and your God. Lord Jesus Christ considered you and I his brothers, his equals in the relationship in this family to God. Now, I don't have any clue, any doubt that I ain't equal with Jesus. Never crossed my mind. But he sure made it plain that we are equally in this family with a Father, with him. His vision of us so much higher than ours. So I think, again, it behooves us to read, to believe, to walk. But again, I'm focusing in on the Father here. You know, we have a Father, same Father Jesus has got. same connection. Gave us the spirit to have it so he could dwell within us. You know, he asked just the same thing he asked in Genesis. He said to the guys in Genesis, Adam and Eve, one commandment I give you, don't eat. He tells us, walk in the commandments. If you love me, you do my word. Same choice. A few more commandments. But really, not that hard. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's it. On these two, take all the law. Jesus Christ just elevated it in his ministry, right? He says, I want you to love like I loved you. And where there is love, the scripture says, there is no fear, there's no sin. But I want to get back here. Look at verse 9. So he teaches the people there. And I don't think the people there really understood God as a father. The whole concept of Jesus Christ talks about God being the father to them all the time. All the time. He is making a relationship. God wants a relationship. There's a relationship here. Almost no other religion has a relationship. You know, Islam doesn't have a relationship with their God. Not in their scriptures. They got obedience, you know, this, that, and the other thing, but they don't have relationship. We're talking about what's Jesus really trying to bring to this point? Relation. He's your father. So he teaches the people first sermon. After this commandment, verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven, holy, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day, give us this day and every day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. That's conditional. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your Father will also forgive you. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's right there. Again, your Father you pray to, but your Father is the one with the rules. That's it. The Word is... He wants you to be like him. He makes it real plain when it comes to the parables. You know, the guy with the tremendous debt. Just ask and I'll forgive you anything. But then you got to forgive those around you. Otherwise, all bets are off. Again, this is, he said it, it is. He declares it, this is how it is. It's just really beautiful and scary. Yeah, I think a lot of people walk into churches and they kind of like, oh, you know, everything is, you know, nice, and there's no sense of awe. There's no fear. It's just, oh, we're just going out for a picnic. going to sit down, hear some nice stuff, sing some beautiful songs. The Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who provides, protects, defends, who watches over you, who will do anything that is in his word towards those that love him. It also shows him as a picture of, you don't mess with him. You know, in Hebrews it says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. Those that are not doing his will, they're going to end up there. But, you know, I don't, that kind of reality check, you know, it's like there were rules, just as an analogy. When I was that little kid walking down the street, nobody else is touching me. But you know what? If I gave my father lip, that was a whole different story. I got touched. Boom. Boom. And again, it was for my benefit, but the truth of the matter was, it wasn't just all, hey, it's about me. I'm using this guy to take care of me. No, I had protection because I was with him. But I also had to have the fear of knowing who I was dealing with, the respect of knowing who I was dealing with. So, but that's just an analogy. But the same, you can see this much clearer with the Father in the Word. You know, you can see, I mean, Aaron and his children, you know, they're gone. As soon as they disobey the commandment of the Lord, they're gone. You know, you can see these kings and armies that come against the will of God and his people. And just gone. Take the Amorites, the ones that attacked Israel from behind as they came out of Egypt. They went after the little ones and the old ones, the weak ones. That was it with God Almighty. There's not going to be a single one left alive. And it took a while to get rid of them, but God never let it go. Like I said, this lifetime or the next, justice will prevail. Go to Ephesians. We'll close there. I love Ephesians. I love this this book. And I love this first chapter, especially since I finally figured out that it was all about what God had done for us. Which is sort of obvious now that I read it, but once upon a time I didn't think that way. I didn't see it. It's so nice when God opens up the eyes of your understanding and you see something that you never saw before. That is your Father teaching you. So here in this wonderful chapter, it says, Paul, an apostle, a sent one of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Excuse me. Almighty God has blessed you and me with all of it. I don't think so, you might say in your head. Well, maybe you're wrong. or you don't know, or you're ignorant, or you're unaware, or you're blind to it. I don't know what the answer is. You have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in the spiritual realm in Christ, according as He has chosen us. Almighty your Father, the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, has chosen us. Now, the us is all mankind, right? He wanted all mankind, but not everybody believes. You understand that we're talking about the people who receive these benefits are the ones who do believe. But it was always God's will for all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And you know what? You are, but you will be perfected in this when He returns. Having predestined us, He's predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself. You know what? People get all upset. They got whole religions and whole theologies on predestination. There's several things that God uses the word predestination for in the Scriptures. This is one. You know what you are predestined to? You were predestined to be adopted children. He adopted you and me. We were chosen. We were all dead sinners, dead men. And He chose. Adam was in the ground. He was dust, and God chose to make man. Jesus Christ died, and God chose to raise Him from the dead. He made it happen. And because He made that happen, He's going to make it happen for us. But how? Jesus was born, the only begotten Son of the Father. How are the rest of us in here? We believed, and He adopted. And you know what? Adoption is just as powerful as bloodline when you got a righteous father. There's no difference. You know, there is no difference. So, according He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. Having predestined us unto the adoption of children to Himself by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. Again, He just wanted to do it. To the praise of the glory of His grace. And that's what we do. We praise Him and glorify Him because of this help, this grace, wherein He has made us. He has made us accepted in the Beloved. Oh, nobody likes me. No, sorry. The only one that's worth anything has accepted you. He has accepted us in the Beloved. And I believe that the Beloved is the Lord Jesus Christ, but doesn't have to be specific like that. In whom we have redemption. We've been paid for and redeemed through His blood. And the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded towards us. That word abounded is like super abounded towards us. In all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, the administration, the stewardship of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him. He's going to gather everything. When the time comes, the family that is in heaven, you can read about some of them in Revelation, the angels, the beasts, the elders, the seraphim, the cherubim, there's stuff up there. Okay, just get it. It stretches my mind. And I don't even know what they do, a lot of them. I know the angels work. Everybody else, I got no idea. But they all are created beings. They are all the children of the Almighty. And there's a day coming when the whole family in heaven and on earth will be one. That is just going to be one. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined, here it is again, according to the purpose of him who works all things after the counsel of his world, of his own will, that we should be to the praise of the glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the token, the earnest, the token of our inheritance. You got an inheritance. And you got the Spirit of God, which is just a token of that inheritance. See? It's the token, it's the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Wherein I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord and loved all the saints, I cease not to give thanks, Paul says. You know, the Spirit, it says, Jesus Christ said in John, just to go back to talking about the Spirit a little bit, which almost very few people talk about, or at least understand very much about in my talking to other Christians. He said, the works that I do shall you do also, and greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. That was the words that came out of my Lord's mouth. He said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll give it to you. So if you love me, you keep my commandments, and my Father will love you, and we will come and make our abode with you. You have God in Christ dwelling in you. You have a connection that is yours. It's just a token of the presence that God in Christ you'll have later on. It's just a token of the power. It's just a token of the connection. But it's all that's available today. But it's already done. You've been blessed with all spiritual blessings. You have a Father. You know, you read Romans 8. God before you, who can be against you? The answer is no one. You believe it. You know, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. All these beautiful, wonderful truths, these verses are not just sayings, they're truth. Now, they're all in a context. You know, if you're walking like Christ, there's nothing that God will not answer. That's the context of that statement about you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. It's not just a bumper sticker and you stick it on. Just name of Jesus, I'm going to get this. No. It's when you walk in like he walked, serve like he served, love like he loved, believe God and do his will like he did it. You know, your connection and with the Father is the same as his. You know, these are just some of the things that the scriptures talk about this family of ours. You know, and there's only one Father. And our Lord and Savior led us to that. There's only one Father, his Father and our Father, his God and our God. And I think we ought to just be super thankful, spend a little time with our Father today, and give your earthly father a little love, but spend some time with the Father, all of our fathers. So, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love. And I thank you, my God, for everything that you have given to us. Open our eyes, Father, to see more and more of you. Open our eyes to walk in a way that's pleasing. Help us, my God, and watch over us, care for us. And I pray, Father, for your abundant blessing on each and every individual that's seeking you, and I ask you to make it available for them to know. I love you, Father. I praise you. I'm so thankful for my family, for the Zach and Mike and their leadership and fatherhood and how they take care of their home. For all of your children, Father, and how they take care of their own. Help us to be the best that we can be in the circumstances that we're in. Thank you for your loving kindness and tender mercies and for your blessing. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray these things. Amen.